Today in the pastor's study, we're going to be going to Philippians chapter 2 to begin our study today in Philippians chapter 2. Thank you once again for joining me today, Brother Gino, here for the pastor's study. It's a blessing to have each and every one of you listening today. Amen. Philippians chapter 2. Book of Philippians is probably, if not one of my favorite books of the Bible. Amen. I just think of the conditions that Paul was in when he wrote the book, as he was in the jailhouse, as they say. But it's really, even though his circumstances were poor, amen, and he wasn't bonds, amen, he was bound, he still was able to rejoice. And he wrote this letter to the church at Philippi, and as a letter of encouragement and instruction. But Philippians chapter 2, I want us to look at one verse. The Word of God says in Philippians chapter 2, in verse 16, it says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. What I want to really bring out our study today is what Paul says, the expression he uses there, holding forth the word of life. As Christians, we are to hold out the bread of life to the hungry, lost, dead, perverse, crooked, lonely, sinful people around us. You see, the word of life is the word that gives life, first of all. The word of life is the word that gives life. Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 63, he said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Also, the word of life is the word that is alive. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 tells us that it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful. The word is alive, my friend. Unlike any other book, it's alive. A third thing about the word of life is the word that came from the life, capital L. Jesus said in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. The fourth thing about the word of life is the word. It's the word that lives forever. It's the word that lives forever. Forever. Look at in Psalm, first of all, in Psalm 119 and verse 89. Of course, Psalm 119 is concerned or deals with the word of God. Amen. In Psalm 119, verse 89, we read in the word of God, forever, O Lord, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Amen. The word, amen, this word of life is the word that lives forever. Look at also what Jesus said over in the Gospel of Matthew there in chapter 24. Of course, in Matthew 24, the context is the tribulation, things leading up to the tribulation. But in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus says in verse 35, he said, heaven and earth, Jesus said, shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Amen. Heaven and earth may pass away, but the words of life will not pass away. Then look with me also in 1 Peter, Again, we're seeing that the word of life is the word that lives forever. In 1 Peter, in chapter number 1 with me, in 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, notice here, in 1 Peter 1, in verses chapter 1, in verses 24 to 25, for all flesh is as grass, amen. You know, flesh, the human being is like grass. It's not around here forever, amen. In all the glory of man, all that man has achieved and accomplished, as the flower of grass. Again, both the grass and the flower perish. They're not everlasting, amen. They're just temporary. He says, the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Verse 25 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Notice what it says. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. Amen. The word of the Lord, the word of life, endureth forever. The word of life is the word that lives forever. And then the fifth thing, the word of life is the word that tells us of eternal life. The word of life is the word that tells us of eternal life. Look in first in John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3, probably one of the greatest verses of Scripture dealing with salvation. In John chapter 3 verse 16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Again, the word of life is the word that tells of eternal life. And then again, let's look at what the Apostle John had to say in his first general epistle in 1 John chapter 5 in verses 11, 12, and 13. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, amen, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. God has given us the record that you can know right now, amen, whether you have eternal life or not. And that eternal life is in the Son of God. If you've believed on him, believe that he died for your sins, was buried, rose again from the dead to save you, my friend, then you have eternal life. Amen. So the word of life is the word that tells of eternal life. Today on our study, I want to ask the question then, why we need to hold forth the word of life. Why do we need to hold forth the word of life? In other words, why do we need to teach and preach and proclaim the inspired, inerrant word of God as preserved in the authorized version 1611 King James Bible? Well, first of all, the reason we need to hold forth the word of life is in the word we find Christ. In the word of life we find Christ. Look, for example, with me in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And if you know the story of what happened in Acts chapter 8, there was a great revival meeting going on, amen, in Samaria. And many were getting saved, many were believing on Christ, and so forth and so on. And then God calls Philip the evangelist to leave the revival meeting, and he directs him to the desert, amen. He directs him to the desert, because God knows in the desert there, there in Gaza, he's going to find an Ethiopian eunuch, amen, a black man, a black man of authority of the treasury of Candace, coming back from Jerusalem. This man was a proselyte. He had converted to Judaism. Amen. But he was in search of the truth. He wanted to know what he needed to do to be right with God, and he was reading the scriptures. And the Spirit told Philip to go to Gaza. And he went to Gaza, and he saw this Ethiopian eunuch reading the scriptures, riding in his chariot, and the Holy Spirit says to Philip, now go to him. And look in chapter 8 of the book of Acts, in verse 35. The Ethiopian eunuch asks Philip whether the prophet, of course, Philip deals with him out of the book of Isaiah, and the Ethiopian eunuch asks whether the prophet is speaking about himself or he's speaking of someone else or some other man. Now notice how Philip answers. Then Philip opened his mouth in verse 34 of Acts chapter 8 and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He preached to the Ethiopian eunuch out of Isaiah, which prophesies of the crucifixion and the death and the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we see that in leading the Ethiopian eunuch to the Lord, Philip did not use the Book of Mormon. Philip did not use the 1, 2, 3 say a prayer and you're in. Philip did not use some technique that he had learned at some soul-winning seminar or clinic. Philip did not use the philosophy and writings of some Greek and Hebrew scholar. No, he held forth the word of life because that is where Philip could find Christ. Amen to that. We have another example. Why should we hold forth the word of life? We're saying that, number one, in the word we find Christ. That's where Philip found Christ in the scripture, to be able to preach to the Ethiopian eunuch. And, of course, he was glorious saved, that eunuch. And then we see another man, Apollos, in the chapter 18 of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 18 with me, in verse number 28. You know, Apollos was a good man, a sincere man. Amen. And he was a little bit off in his teaching, but Aquila and Priscilla took him aside and talked to him and, you know, told him how now Jew and Gentile are saved by grace. But we see in verse 28 of verse 18 of Acts, we read, "For he," talking about Apollos, "for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ." You see, how was Apollos able to convince the Jews that Jesus was Christ? It was by holding forth the word of life. Amen. That's how he was able to convince them, from the scriptures. Again, from the Old Testament scriptures. There are very many Old Testament scriptures that prophesy of Christ, that tell of what he would go through and how he would bear the sins of the world and be the Savior, amen, for his people. Now, again, we're looking in our study is why we should hold forth the word of life. And the first point we're looking at today is, in the word we find Christ. And looking in John chapter 5, we find the words of Jesus Christ in dealing with the Jews in John chapter 5 with me. And in John chapter 5, verse 39, we read, Jesus said to the Jews when he was dealing with them, he said, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." In dealing with the Jews, Jesus told them that they could find out who he was by searching the word of life, the scriptures. And of course, like most people, they don't want to do any hard work. They don't want to study the scriptures, amen. They want to be told what the scripture says instead of finding it out for themselves, amen. That's why they didn't recognize who the Lord Jesus Christ was when he was upon this earth. Why do we need to hold forth the word of life? Number two, In the Word of Life, we find salvation. We find salvation. Now look with me in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1 with me. And then when you get to 1 Peter chapter 1, I want you to look at verse 23. We want to look at that verse 23 together. We read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, it says, being born again. Amen. That's a spiritual birth. That's the birth that Jesus told Nicodemus about. He said, verily, verily, I say, ye must be born again. Talking about the spiritual birth. He says, being born again. How are you born again? Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. So the word of God abideth and liveth forever. Why? So men can find salvation in the word of life. Peter tells us also in verse 18 of that 1 Peter chapter 1, where salvation is not found. He says it's not found in corruptible things. It's not found in the material things of the world. You know, it's not found in trying to earn your way to heaven by being a good person or by giving money or giving whatever to the poor or to the church, amen. He says, no. He says, you're being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. In the word of life, you can find how you are to be saved. You find salvation. Peter also tells us where salvation is not found, not only in corruptible things, but tradition, man's religion and commandments. A lot of people are trusting in their religion or their traditions that their religion has taught them. Amen. But again, to find out how to be saved, you're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. Amen. By the word of God. That's the incorruptible word of God. That's the King James Bible. Amen. Which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. So God clearly shows you and I, or any human being for that fact, on the face of this earth, that they can find salvation in the word of life. That's why it's so important for you and I to hold forth the word of life, to teach and to preach and proclaim the word of life. Amen. Because that's exactly what it is. Life to lost and dying souls going on their way to heaven. Amen. By the word of life, people can be saved, to be born again, and know when they die that they'll go to heaven, to know that all their sins have been washed away in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah for that. Amen. That ought to make you run the bases and run the aisles. Pray the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, why do we need to hold forth the word of life? Number three, because in the word of life, we find faith. We find faith. Look it with me, if you would, in that wonderful verse of scripture there. Some of you probably have committed it to memory. If you haven't, I hope you will. In Romans chapter 10, look it in verse 17 with me. In Romans 10 verse 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith cometh by hearing. Hearing what? Amen. See, faith does not come from listening to some lecture, amen, by some so-called theologian on how man is going to bring in the kingdom of God. A faith does not come from listening to a Benny Hinn, amen, or watching him blow on people and touch people and watch them fall over. Faith does not come from listening to Kenneth Copeland or the Reverend Sun Young Moon or Robert Shuler for that matter. No, faith comes from hearing, amen, listening. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing from the word of God. Faith comes from listening, amen, listening to the preaching and the teaching of the word of life. You know, a good example of that is Cornelius and his household. We all know the story. You should know the story of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. Let's turn there for a moment. You read some many nice things about him. He's described, you would also almost think that this Cornelius was saved. He was a saved man, amen? That he was born again, that he was right with God. Because as you read about him, we see this occupation. He was a centurion of the band called the Italian band. But then it goes on, he was a devout man. In other words, he was a religious man. He feared God. Not only he, with all his house. See, he had a good testimony. Not only did he fear God, but his household feared God. And he gave much alms to the people. He gave to the poor liberally. And he prayed to God always. And then he had a vision. And the vision, God told him to send men to Joppa to bring the apostle Peter to him. See, I believe if a man's heart is right with God, I mean, he's trying to be right with God, in other words. He's doing whatever he thinks is sincerely trying to be right with God. But, you know, I believe God is going to give him the specifics as he did here. Amen. Cornelius, despite all he did, was not right with God because it was self-righteousness. It was things that he was trying to do of his own to make himself right in God's eyes. But he failed miserably. Amen. But God saw his tender heart, his sweet heart, his sincere heart, and he set a preacher to preach the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Amen. To these honest-to-goodness Gentiles. But what I want you to see here is we're seeing that we find faith in the word of life, and we saw in Romans 10:17, for then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Here's a great example of that. Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, verse 44, we see that Peter preaches the death, burial, and resurrection to Cornelius and his household, and look what happens. It says in Acts 10, verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, amen, telling Cornelius and his household what they needed to do to be right with God, notice what happened. The Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. See, they got saved because they heard the word, amen, and what did they do? They placed faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ, and what happened? They got saved. The moment, the instant you get saved, you receive an indwelling Holy Spirit of God. Amen? Isn't that a blessing? So, it says in 45, and they of the circumcision which believed were astounded as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. So we see then, why we need to hold forth the word of life, my friend, is because we find faith in the word of life. What's another reason? Why do we need to hold forth the word of life? Because in the word, we find life. Physical and spiritual life, for that matter. Notice what Jesus told the devil. Remember, right after his baptism, you know, it was the beginning of his earthly ministry here, for all intents and purposes, the baptism of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 3, amen, we see it ends by he's baptized, and then we see in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus Christ begins his earthly ministry on a high note. He's baptized by John the Baptist. The Father is pleased with him. And then what happens? Jesus is led of the Spirit up into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Amen. And he fasted 40 days. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came, that's another name for the devil, to him he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now notice how Jesus answered him in verse 4 of Matthew 4. But he answered and he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, see, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It's not only enough to get physical nourishment, amen, to have physical life, but more importantly, you need to get spiritual nourishment, amen. And you can only find that spiritual life in the Word of Life. Amen. Notice also in John chapter 5 with me. In John chapter 5, notice what Jesus says here. In John chapter 5, beginning in verse 24, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word," not only hear the word, he says, "and believe on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Amen to that. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in him." So we see we need to hold fast the Word of Life, because we find life in itself, not only physical life, but spiritual life. That's why it's so important to hold forth that book, the Word of God, the Bible, the Holy Bible, the King James Bible, the Word of Life, forth to this lost and dying, sin-sick world. Because really, it is their only way of escape from the coming judgment. Amen. Someday their sins, all of our sins, have to be judged. If you've called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, your sins have been judged at Calvary. You're no longer under the condemnation of God. My friend, that's what we do every time we get on this program and I speak and I teach and preach. I'm holding forth the Word of Life. Amen. I know most of you listening are Christians, but maybe some of you are not saved. And I tell you today, you want to find salvation. You want to find how to be saved. It's in the Word of God. You're not going to find it anywhere else. Oh, you might find some self-help books and self-help gurus, amen. Amen. But when it comes the time to die, if you haven't received Christ, you'll die in your sins and split hell wide open. But won't you be saved today? Won't you call upon the name of the Lord? Bible says, "For whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You can be saved today, in like simple faith in a child, humbly repenting of your sins, asking God to forgive you for your sins, believing that Christ died, he died for your sins, was buried, rose again the third day, just to save you. Amen. "For whosoever," put your name in there, and that whosoever, that's you, my friend. Won't you be saved today? Well, that's all the time we have on the Pastor's Study today. Till we meet again on the Pastor's Study, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you. Good day.